This is Our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball. Here is your host, Joe DiRienzo.
Hello and welcome to Our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball. I'm Joe DiRienzo. It is Thursday, August 17th, coming up on today's show. The 2017 12U national team has returned to the U.S. with gold medals around their necks from the WBSC U12 Baseball World Cup in Taiwan. Plus, the 15U national team is competing in Colombia for the Copave Pan American Championships, and the 13U NTIS has come to a close to begin NTIS season in Cary. Let's see what's leading off. After a few weeks of trials and training in Cary, North Carolina, the 15U national team is competing in the Copave Pan American Championships in Colombia. The opening round, they went 4-1 to advance. It was a wild start to their Copave experience. They defeated Colombia 3-2 in 11 innings in Game 1. They were down 1-0 for most of the game. Team USA came back and tied it in the 7th inning on a Robert Moore RBI single that knocked in Mason Wynn. Then Wynn came on to pitch the 9th, 10th, and 11th innings in pressure situations. With the game on the line, he allowed just one run in the 10th on a squeeze play during the international tiebreaker. The winning run came home in the 11th inning for Team USA on a bases-loaded hit-by-pitch and gave Team USA a 1-0 head start in the tournament in a nearly 5-hour game. Next up, it was Cuba, who was yet another marathon ballgame. This time, it was the U.S. that led 2-1 for most of the game, seeded the tying run to Cuba in the bottom of the 9th to force extras. Back-to-back extra-inning games to start their experience in Colombia. This time, it was Cuba who came out on top in a tight 6-5 win. Each team scored 3 runs in the 10th, and Cuba executed on a sac fly in the 11th to take the tight 6-5 win. After a pair of dramatic extra-inning games, Team USA won 3 straight to advance out of the opening round. Alejandro Rosario allowed just 1 run in 5 innings in a 5-1 victory over Venezuela, and Michael Flores struck out 8 batters in 4 no-hit innings in a run-rule-shortened 15-0 win over Argentina. Then, in the final game of the opening round, Team USA faced off against Nicaragua and won 12-2. Michael Brooks picked up the win on the mound. He shut out Nicaragua over 3 innings and struck out 6 batters. Brooks also went 2-for-4 at the plate with a double, triple, 2 runs, and 4 RBIs. That was the ending of the opening round. They advanced to the Supers. It was a rematch with Colombia that started that round. This time, the 15U national team had a steady lead throughout the game. They won 10-0 behind Nelson Berkwich, who went 7 1/3 shutout innings, allowed just 2 hits, and struck out 8 batters. Mason Wynn and Rock Riggio bat 1-2 in the order. They combined for 5 hits, 3 walks, 5 runs scored, and 3 RBIs in the win. It's about as perfect of a situation you can ask for out of your 1-2 hitters. Today, they have their next matchup in the Super Round against an undefeated Dominican Republic team at 7 p.m. Brazil is next up Friday at 2 p.m. to close out the Super Round. Now, if Team USA wins both of these games, they are guaranteed a spot in the gold medal game Saturday, 2 p.m. if we advance. But tough matchup today against the Dominican Republic. You can follow everything on that one online. Our social media account is at USABaseball15U for all the live updates. There will also be a live stats link for that game as well. The 13U NTIS came to a close this weekend. It was the first national team identification series of the summer. And in a new format this year, we have championship-style events for all age groups, the 13U kicking things off, and Southwest was the first team to win a gold medal in this new NCIS format. They defeated SoCal 7-6 in a walk-off win. It was an unbelievable game. They scored 4 runs in that final inning to pick up the 7-6 win. It was their second straight walk-off win. They had won over Southeast in the game prior to that in the semifinals to make it to the championship game. And their head coach was thrilled with the way his team performed in this entire tournament.
You know, I felt really good the whole game about our chances. We were hitting balls hard. Carson Bowen is probably the best player in the country. And we still were putting balls in play hard. And I felt like it was a matter of time. It's just if we had enough outs to get those runs to take the lead. Knew they were going to keep scoring and knew we were going to have to get a big inning somewhere. And, man, we just were fortunate enough to string them together, and it helps when you got to walk 2 guys in front of a guy who's been 4-for-4 almost hit for the cycle, hit a big double yesterday. You know, you felt really good about our chances with Castro at the plate. So I've been coming to this tournament for a really long time, and I've never had anywhere close to a team like this one. I've never had close to the families that we have, the players as far as talent-wise, but even more so, the young men that they are.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I spoke with 12U National Team Manager David Sharp about winning gold in Taiwan. You're listening to our Pastimes Podcast. Panini America is proud to be the exclusive trading card manufacturer of USA Baseball. Before the game's biggest superstars reach the show, they don the stars and stripes, and Panini America is there to chronicle that monumental step in a player's career with the most collectible trading cards, autographs, and memorabilia in the industry, all officially licensed by USA Baseball. Get yours today at your local trading card store or online at iCollectPanini.com. That's iCollectPanini.com. Joining me now on our Pastimes Podcast is the manager of the 2017 12U National Team, David Sharp. Coach, congratulations on winning gold. How was the experience for you?
Unbelievable, and, you know, still a bit surreal, 8 days out. You know, I've said this many times, but anytime you have the opportunity to represent your country, the greatest country in the world, and, you know, and then come back with the gold medal, you know, achieving the ultimate, and obviously the way we did it was, you know, added even more to it. It's an unbelievable feeling, and, you know, it's the pinnacle of what you can accomplish, and I've said that to many people. It doesn't matter if you're coaching 12-year-olds or if you're, you know, on the World Baseball Classic team as a major leaguer. Wearing those three letters across your chest and achieving the ultimate is something that I'll never forget and something that will forever, engraved in my mind.
Coming into 2017, you had some experience with Team USA in the past as well. You were a two-time assistant coach with the 12U team, including the 2015 team that won gold in Taiwan against Chinese Taipei by the exact same final score in that last game. It was a very eerily similar script that the team followed this year as they did in 2015. Were you having deja vu from your time in 2015?
Absolutely. You know, we in both years, we ran through our pool fairly easy. You know, we were challenged in one game in each pool. We go into the super round where the top six teams go, and both of the years we lost to Chinese Taipei. But I believe that loss each year to Chinese Taipei really helped both of our clubs, because both of those years, it was the first time that we were in the stadium at night, and that stadium is very electric, and it allowed our kids to get in front of that atmosphere and get accustomed to it. And, you know, to make it even more eerie, I gave the exact same pregame talk down the line to both teams. that's how deja vu-ish it was. And, you know, it's a testament to both of the 2015 and the 2017 teams to be able to come back from a loss. But you know, you're exactly right. It was deja vu all over again, and that was the word we used with our kids. And our kids never panicked. Our kids stayed the course. They stayed committed. And because of that, we were able to achieve something that can never be taken away from us.
It must have been unbelievable playing in front of that crowd, 11,000 in a sellout crowd for that final game. And it was like that for a lot of the tournament. What was the atmosphere like for you guys?
You know, I've coached in some big-time atmospheres in high school baseball and, you know, obviously was there 2 years ago. But, you know, I can tell you as the manager this year, the first time that I went over to coach third base in the top of the first there in the championship game, I had to take a step back because we all get caught up in the experience and we all get caught up in what's at hand pitch by pitch. But, you know, you have to take a step back and you have to enjoy what's going on. And I do remember going over the top of the first inning to third base and just taking a step back, looking around and thinking, you know, this is unbelievable to be wearing that jersey in front of 11,000 people. And, you know, and we didn't know what the future was going to hold for the next 2 hours of that game, but obviously to come out on top was surreal. And, you know, those 12-year-old kids, you know, I'm a grown man and so are our assistant coaches, but we felt like little kids. So you know, for those 12-year-old kids to be able to handle that atmosphere with 11,000 people, and I think we said all but 42 were against us because I think we had 42 fans in the stands. and while I'm saying that, our parents did a tremendous job, and you could hear the USA chants over everything, and it was unbelievable. So that atmosphere was something that, you know, that's why you put in all the hard work, and that's why you do everything leading up to that to enjoy that moment. And everything that we put into that came true, and, you know, to share that atmosphere with those kids in front of 11,000 people was unbelievable.
12U baseball is probably not something people are completely familiar with outside of the Team USA spectrum, perhaps maybe the Little League World Series. Explain to the folks at home what it's like playing on 12U baseball on that smaller field, maybe some of the differences in the game that you have to deal with as manager of that team and strategy-wise and things that you change from high school baseball to that.
Well, you know that the home run is always in play, and no lead is never safe because, you know, these kids on our team and kids on the other teams that we've faced, you know, they had the ability to lead the yard on any pitch. So no lead was safe, and, you know, that was very evident in our game versus Mexico. You know, that was a back-and-forth game. We were down 4 runs at one point. Our kids showed tremendous, moxie to come back and win that game. And after the game, someone said, that was a fun game to watch. And so I responded and said that it must have been fun for you because it wasn't for me. And that's playing on that 270 field in center and 220 down the left field line. The game is so much quicker, at that level, 51 feet mound and 75 feet bases, or, you know, it's so much quicker there. And, you know, the game doesn't change itself, you know, whether you're playing 12-year-old baseball, high school baseball, or even Major League Baseball, the game doesn't change. It's the speed of the game. And with this small field that we played on, you know, the speed of the game really jumped out to us. And, you know, and credit to our kids, they didn't get caught up, you know, in everything going on. They were able to, you know, we had to tell them, hey, just breathe, just relax, everything's going to be fine. So, you know, you have to pick your chances to steal, you know, a little bit more than you do in high school because the smaller field and the catchers have great arms. But that was a part of our game that we really utilized this year. I think we had over 32 stolen bases, I believe it was, and kids did a great job. And, again, it's a little different than high school, but, again, the game doesn't change. The speed of it is what changed.
You mentioned that Mexico game. That was one of the most memorable parts of this whole run for the 12U team. It was essentially an elimination game to earn a spot in the gold medal contest. The team had to recover from giving up 5 runs in the 4th inning, gave Mexico an 8-5 lead. They came back, responded with 6 runs. I know you mentioned the loss to Chinese Taipei being sort of a catalyst for you guys figuring out what you had to do to win, but did you see that inning coming right back to Mexico as sort of a catalyst for getting you guys to realize you could go win gold?
Absolutely. When you're down 8-5 late in the game, you know, a lot of people have a tendency to panic. A lot of people have a tendency to, you know, obviously to push the panic button, and our kids didn't. And, you know, that was one of the things that we stressed to them as a coaching staff was that we don't have to do anything special. Let's just be us. And, you know, baseball is a team game, and I'll touch on how we evolved as a team as we move on. But, you know, that day, our pitcher, Josh Adamonzek from Texas, had a phenomenal day. Went 5 1/3 innings. Well, no, excuse me, that was the wrong one. But Josh, that was against Japan. Josh did a great job against Japan. But then against Mexico, you know, we just 1-9. We had guys come off the bench. We had to work, you know, we had to work our 8-hole spot a lot because we were getting pitchers in and out. You know, we couldn't wait, couldn't hold pitchers because if we held a pitcher, it wouldn't help us any the next day. So we utilized a lot of people in that game, and a lot of people came in and had big hits, and our kids didn't panic, and that's the biggest thing. And, you know, that game, you know, it was on video, I think, the post-game speech to the team. Of how incredibly proud our coaching staff was of them. You know, to go back to that Chinese Taipei, we were very dejected getting beat 16-2 the first time against them. And we knew that the next 2 days were must-win situations against Japan and Mexico. And Japan and Mexico were very, very good. You know, we were able to win 6-3 and then 12-10. And I really believe that our kids, for those 2 days, having to fight and claw and scratch to pull out a win those 2 days, really, really made our team very battle-tested. And going into the gold medal game, we knew that we were going to have to play very well against a team that had just beat us bad. But I think going through that Japan game and that Mexico game really let our kids know that, you know what, we don't have to do anything special, and we're not going to see anything that we haven't already seen. So, you know, at the time, we didn't want to lose to Taipei, but it got our kids in that atmosphere at night, number one, and it made us play two very tough, tightly contested games the next 2 days, which those three things together, I believe, really led to a lot of our success in the gold medal game.
And that gold medal game, you guys really, obviously, like you said, that trial by fire changed the team a little bit, got them ready to come back and face Chinese Taipei, who had just beaten them by 14. In the third inning, you guys went back-to-back, Kai Caranto and Rafael Velasquez, two home runs to take the lead. When did you have a feeling in that game that it was yours? You were going to win the gold medal.
Well, we jumped out 4-0, obviously, there in the top of the third, and then we got through the bottom of the third. We're up 4-0, and we go to the fourth, and we don't score. And then we go to the bottom of the fourth, and, you know, they hit a two-run bomb, made it 4-2. And, you know, when we played them, when they beat us 16-2, I think they hit five home runs. So that was always in the back of my mind, and something I've already mentioned to you is that, you know, the big fly, the home run on that field, I don't want to say it's easy, but, you know, it happens a good bit with the quality of players that we were facing. And so, right. You know, going 4-2, going to the fifth inning, we liked our chances. Brandon Oliveira had come out and done a phenomenal job as our starting pitcher. And we knew as coaching staff, we wanted to get to the fifth inning to get to Kai Caranto from shortstop to come in and take over the game on the mound. And Brandon did a phenomenal job getting us to Kai. And then, you know, in the fifth inning there, we go out and Kai had a base hit, and then they tried to pick Kai off at first base. He gets to second on the errant pickoff attempt. And the next pitch, Rafael Velasquez has a double to left center field. That pushed our lead to 5-2. Well, that inning played out, and we eventually get runners on first and third with two outs and two strikes on our hitters. So we early broke our runner from first base, trying to get one more run to get it to 6-2. So Brad Burns at first base, early breaks at first. Their pitcher turns and attempts to pump fake the ball. And when he does, the ball slips out of his hand, and the ball rolled out into left field. Well, obviously, our runner from third, Rafael Velasquez, scored to make it 6-2. And Brad Burns gets to second, picks me up, he gets to third, and their left fielder was playing very deep. And, you know, we rounded Brad at third, and we sent him home, and Brad scored to make it 7-2. And, you know, we got in the dugout, and Brad couldn't believe that I was bringing him from second base to third base home on an errant pickoff attempt there. But that was the time there when we got a 7-2 lead in the fifth. You know, and inside, I would never tell the kids this, but inside, I started counting outs. I knew that we needed to get six more outs at that time. And getting those three runs there in the top of the fifth by the base hit and then sort of stealing two runs on an early break first and third play, really getting that lead to 7-2, gave us a little bit of breathing room. And, you know, we knew that we had Kai coming in, and we liked our chances at that time.
It was a memorable experience for us back home watching at the wee hours of the morning, especially in some of the games. I'm sure it was memorable for you. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, share the story of that journey, and congrats on the gold.
Do you mind if I say one more thing, please?
Absolutely.
I really believe, and I mean this sincere, you know, today in our society, in our world, we have, in the sports realm, we have a lot of individualization. And I really, really firmly believe that the reason that this happened the last 2 weeks was because we had a motto that was 2 feet in, and we wanted everybody to have 2 feet in the circle. And everybody that was with us on our staff from USA Baseball, all of our coaches, our players, and every one of our parents, everybody that made that journey with us legitimately had 2 feet in that circle, and nobody cared about who got the credit. Nobody cared about anything other than winning that gold medal. And I really, really believe that that's that team family atmosphere is what really led us to the gold medal. There's one of my favorite clips. When, if you look at it, when Kai hit the home run there to go up 3-0 in the first inning, and, you know, as a coach, I look at other things, not the home run. I look at our dugout and seeing that dugout just erupt. But the biggest thing that came out to me was the first three guys out of that dugout was E.J. Barnes, Trent Abel, and Ashton Larson. And those three were not regular players every single day, but they accepted their role, and were when they were called upon, they did a great job. And seeing those three guys be the first ones out of the dugout in that home run really solidified what our team was about. And phenomenal experience. Thank you for your time. I appreciate the interview, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We'll close out today's episode of our Pastimes podcast with some upcoming events on the USA Baseball calendar. The 15U national team finishes up its Super Round competition in Colombia. These next couple days, they are fighting for that gold medal game berth that will be on August 20th if they make it, but they've got the Dominican Republic tonight and Brazil tomorrow, so stay tuned on at USA Baseball 15U on Twitter and on usabaseball.com. Also, the 15U and 16U National Team Identification Series events are this weekend in Cary, North Carolina at the National Training Complex. The 11U, 14U, and 17U NTIS events will be next weekend. And finally, the 18U National Team Trials begin this weekend, August 19th in Minnesota. They are finding their final 20-man roster to compete in the WBSC U18 World Cup in Thunder Bay, Canada. That'll do it for today's episode of our Pastimes podcast. For Coach David Sharp, I'm Joe DiRienzo. Thank you all so much for listening. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to USA Baseball's presentation of our Pastimes podcast. For upcoming episodes and the complete archive of our Pastimes podcast, find us on iTunes or head to usabaseball.com.